from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Almost halfway through this Friday edition, Evan and Tiki here on WFAN. Aaron Judge did not play in Game 2 of the Baltimore Orioles-Yankees series. We all remember what happened. Game 1, he gets hit on the hand after one at-bat. Stayed in the game, actually scored a run. They win that game. He does not play in Game number 2. We all remember that one as well. What the hell is going on here?
Grimace is arriving.
What in the hell?
I'm Grimace. I was told you don't believe in me.
Oh, I believe in you.
I was told you don't think I'm the reason the Mets are hot.
Of what? Grimace, if you don't get out of this studio, I'm going to whoop your ass.
You're going to whip this ass?
No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Bring it on, Mitch.
So left to right on your radio dial, Grimace has
the
entered
Mets
the building.
The Mets are hot because of me.
Grimace, you're our lucky charm.
You're welcome.
Am I allowed to dropkick Grimace?
I think you can.
Was that going to offend children?
No, he's an amoeba.
It will make our sponsor, Wendy's, feel bad. Get away from me, Grimace. Get away from me. Get away from me, Grimace.
Oh, no. Grimace is trying to hug Tiki Barber. Grimace is hugging Tiki Barber.
I'm so lovable.
Oh, Jesus.
Grimace looks deflated. Maybe he's on the table diet.
Because I'm very hot.
All right, Grimace is now leaving.
Let's go, Matt.
And he yelled, "Let's go, Mets!" Also, very deflated. Gotta say, if that's not Grimace and one of Grimace's helpers, very cheap-looking costume.
What in I'm a the loser. World was that? I mean, did you know that was happening?
Yes, I was told the stall. Nobody tells me anything.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't hate Grimace that much, but when Grimace is forced upon me, I'm going to hate Grimace.
Grimace did forcibly hug you.
A forced upon me Grimace is a hateable Grimace.
You got Grimace remains all over you now.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, my apologies, guys. I was in the bathroom. Did I miss anything?
Sorry. You seem out of breath and a little disheveled there.
Well, as I told Tiki during the break, I had a massive stomach ache, so I apologize, but I feel much better now. So what you guys been talking about?
Too much Grimace in your belly?
Yeah, Grimace shake.
Oh, I thought we're not talking about Grimace. You're okay with Grimace leading the Mets to an 11-1 victory?
No.
Did you have like a meeting with God or something that made you say I should welcome Grimace into my life?
Grimace was in studio.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, wow. And Quintana just walked off holding his elbow.
What?
I'm just kidding. I don't want to make you feel like Grimace.
Well, Grimace was in the stew. Where did Grimace come from?
I don't know.
McDonald's?
I missed Grimace? Boy, what are the odds of that?
But it was a skinny Grimace.
Huh.
It wasn't the fat, plump Grimace.
I would agree. That Grimace looked like it didn't take enough lunch breaks on jury duty, and then therefore wasn't the stuff.
That's well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen this Grimace, so definitely let me see a picture or a video. Yeah. I'm sure digital will have it, and I'll take a look.
I think that was the alternate Grimace. It's not the one that threw out the first pitch.
It seems like you guys are making implications. That may not be very true.
I guess we'll find out on Tuesday by the time digital gets it out. Just kidding, Gal.
Hey, real quick, before we get back to your calls, I did allude to this because this one bothers me, and Sean may be on kind of the same page as me on this.
I started to set it up, by the way.
Oh, did you?
I did.
The Aaron Judge thing?
The Aaron Judge. Played in game one, gets hit, stayed in the game, scored a run, did not play in game two. They lose by a run in extra innings.
And then plays game three.
And then plays game three and hits a home run.
So here's my problem with this, all right? This is not about Aaron Judge. I want to make that very, very clear. Aaron Judge is a tough guy. Mm. Aaron Judge wants to play.
He wanted to play in game two.
He said he wanted to play. I believe him. What bothers me is not even Aaron Judge not starting the game. What bothers me is that game in particular had many an opportunity for Judge to be used as a pinch hitter to completely change the game. and he was clearly not available. Aaron Boone made him not available.
Stole a rest day.
Complete utter, you will not play, I will not use you, no shot you play kind of game. I'd understand that if he wasn't going to play the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was good enough to play the next day. So what bothers me, and again, I blame the Yankees. I blame Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone in the front office more than I blame Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge wants to play. I don't think he controls this, but it really looks weird to me to make a guy completely, utterly non-available, and then the following day, the following afternoon, by the way, Teak, so yes, it's a little bit quicker, he's playing, and by the way, it looks like he doesn't miss a beat. I don't know what happened. I assume it's the Yankees put their foot down, but I think it could have cost him a game.
I feel like it was them trying to steal a rest day for Aaron Judge. That's the only thing I can put it to, because he plays the next day. Like, it's not even a question he's going to be in the lineup the following day. So clearly, it was just pain he was dealing with, mm-hmm, right? Nothing structural, nothing damaged. Obviously, the MRI and I think they'd had a CAT scan as well. It showed that there was nothing wrong with him. And by playing in game three of that Baltimore series, you saw that there was nothing wrong with him.
Right?
He looked just like Aaron Judge does. Is his hand hurt a little bit? Sure. Take some Advil. You'd be fine. But to me, it was trying to steal rest days. That's
what
that was.
This is not the series to do it.
And that's my only issue.
This is the wrong opponent.
You want to do it against, I don't know, the Twins or whoever, right? Do it against a team where the outcome doesn't matter as much as the outcome of the Orioles series matters.
Like, it's funny. So we opened the show about 2 hours ago. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. That to me, the Yankees and the Orioles are even. And despite what the Orioles did in this series, and despite them winning 5 out of 7 games, I look at the talent, I look at the stats for the first 75 games, and I see two teams that are very, very, very close, okay? But what I do admit is that these games are really important. It's kind of like why I was arguing before about the importance of Mets-Cubs. Like, teams that you're competing with,
yep,
those games matter double. Not only because of the standings, but because of tiebreak scenarios, which matter. You may not think they matter now, but they do. The difference between being down 5-2 in the season series and 4-3 in the season series is huge. It is huge. They only play 13 times. I think you may have misspoke earlier, Sean. It's not 19 times the way it used to be. It's 13 times, which means you've already played more than half your games against the Orioles that you're scheduled to play. It also means the Yankees need to win every game but one to win the season series.
I think Sean said they're playing in 19 days.
They have 19 games until they play them again.
My apologies.
Yes.
That's unimportant, but your point remains.
My point remains, that game matters. And so if you're on the fence about Aaron Judge, play him. Play him. I don't, for the life of me, understand that. I think the Yankees have been really good this year at showing the urgency of the moment by having guys play a lot. And the Juan Soto thing I understood, and a part of why I understood it was the games against the Dodgers are like, yeah, they're big in theory, but they're not. The games against the Orioles are big. They are bigger. I'm sorry. You may think differently based on the ticket prices you paid. You may think differently because Dodger fans are obnoxious, but the facts are the facts.
Right.
The games against the Orioles matter more, and it boggles my mind that in a game in which there were so many situations in which you could have gone checkmate with Aaron Judge, never once.
Yeah, never. I mean, and I think what we talked about earlier in the season and why it felt different with this Yankee team is because they were just running the same line out every single night. Every single game felt the same. And it's probably because the guys were saying, I feel great. I don't need a rest day. I don't want a rest day. So if you were listening to them then, why would you not listen to them now?
You're right, because Judge, there's no doubt Judge wanted to play.
He said it.
Yeah. I mean, he said he wanted to play. He wants to play. They listen to Aaron Judge on everything except for Wednesday night. That was the one time they didn't listen to him.
Especially in a game where...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
But they did pinch hit.
Well, yes, you're right. Yes, they did. Exactly.
Jermaine Jones.
Exactly. We're right. But the only defense I will give is Aaron Boone, and this is what's pissing off Sean today, with Jermaine Jones filling in for Verdugo. He's literally just slotted into a spot. So he's sitting there at five, right? And it sucks for the fan because you don't trust that he's going to do anything there. The fix for Aaron Jones or Aaron Judge being out was Giancarlo Stanton batting third. And he was phenomenal.
Right. Had the big homer to bring it back.
A big home run. Man. Obviously, big RBI. So it's almost not the Judge spot that bothers you.
No,
it's,
it was every other spot.
It was every other spot after that.
And by the way, him not starting the game, like I get. I told you, it's just once that game is going on and you make this gallant comeback like you did, mm-hmm. and you force extra innings like you did, and now you're in position to win an amazing game.
Yeah, why is he not available? And it wins you the series.
And think about what kind of win that would have been. You're down 5-1. You did your retaliation thing, and it cost you a run, and you still had a chance to come back and
just
win.
Just let Aaron Judge be the hero that he is.
That's right.
And on top of that, Verdugo out of the lineup. We had mentioned earlier, Gleyber Torres out of the lineup. Aaron Boone has said he had an MRI on his groin that he left after the Orioles kicked the field goal to go up 17. He came back clean, expected back this weekend, considered day-to-day. But
Gleyber.
Gleyber. Why sit Verdugo on a day Gleyber's in?
Oh, are they just sitting Alex Verdugo on an off day? Because it's a tough lefty and Chris Sale? Is that what they're doing?
That's what it seems like. Okay. But, I mean, sorry. Don't like it.
I know you don't like it. I understand. But the Judge thing, obviously, you didn't like. I can imagine.
Of course not. When he's sitting there and he's holding the bat, if he's out there at 4 o'clock the next afternoon.
It changes the game. I mean, they could have won that game. And I think the conversations we've been having today would be far different if they had come back from 5-1 down, you know, and defeated the Orioles that way.
And to further that point, I know we talk about stealing an off day and the Orioles and all that stuff that he needs one. If the philosophy is going to be you still want to find him his off days and he was banged up the night before, then please, by all means, he doesn't have to play 155 games. Sit him a game versus the Minnesota Twins
than
that spot.
Well, by the way, sit him against the Braves or even the Mets. Like, no, I get that the interleague matters to people, but it really doesn't. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter as much. Like, all games matter, but it's like the NFL. I'd use that as an example. Obviously, Giants-Vikings matter. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, let me use a better example. Giants-Broncos matter, but Giants-Eagles matters more.
Right.
And even Giants-Vikings matters more. Why? Because of tiebreakers, because of playoff scenarios. And yeah, you could tell me, oh, Evan, it's too early to think about that. Okay, then be late to the party in late September when you lose because of a tiebreaker. And then we'll have that conversation then. That's what I would say to any Met fan who says beating the Cubs doesn't matter. It matters. Let's go to John calling from Comac. How you doing, John?
Good. Everything's well. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to make a suggestion for the Yankees infield.
Yes.
Cabrera at third. Keep Bobby at short. Put DJ LeMahieu at second. Put Austin Wells or Trevino at first. And put Jim Rice behind the bad catcher.
First of all, Jim Rice is not going to do that.
Okay. Ben Rice, maybe.
Here's what I'd want to know about Ben Rice. Because Ben Rice is a very interesting addition who we're still getting to know. He is a catcher. He is right about that. He's a converted catcher. Do we know how good defensively he is?
No.
No.
I mean,
has anybody watched him? Do we know what Ben Rice is defensively?
At first, he's been okay.
No, I mean behind the plate.
I have no idea.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
No idea. Only what's been written, but I don't even know what to make of that.
And tough spot, like Ben Rice needs to come up and figure out how to catch Gerrit Cole right now. It's not like first base was like a prominent thing for the Yankees. Just let him focus on first base. That's it.
Yeah. I think it's because Ben Rice can catch. So the assumption is, well, he can't be worse than Jose Trevino.
Right.
Keep this in mind. There are a couple of factors when it comes to catching. There is absolutely throwing guys out at second base. No doubt about it. We saw how that can impact games like we've seen over the last couple of days. The other thing is pitch framing. It's a huge deal. May not be a huge deal 2 years from now, but it's a huge deal right now. And also handling a pitching staff and being on the same page as a pitcher. Trevino's very good at those two other things.
Right.
Keep that in mind. Alex in Connecticut. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Evan. How you doing, man? How's it going, Tiki?
All's good.
Good. What's up?
Calling just a couple of things, because I heard something you said earlier about the pitching, so I just wanted to
to address that, and I wanted to mention something about the Sox.
Yes.
Imanaga, you're absolutely right. 110% I agree with you. When they come around a second time, they're going to get you. I mean, Tim Wakefield, they got him. When he came up, when Aaron Sealy and, Clemens went down, and I think it was 95, they brought up Tim Wakefield, God bless his soul. He went 14-1.
I know. Dude, I'll never forget that run Tim Wakefield went on. And the only reason I really remember this is because I was in Chicago for a Red Sox-White Sox game, just completely randomly. Yeah, and Tim Wakefield was in the midst of that incredible run in 95. And I remember arguing with my dad about Tim Wakefield versus Randy Johnson for the American League Cy Young. And my dad's like,
right.
Wakefield doesn't strike people out. And I'm like, who the hell cares? He's good.
Right?
But you're right. He was amazing. Yeah. And then, look, to your point, the league made an adjustment. And then Wakefield made an adjustment. And while he was never as good as he was in 95, he had a pretty damn good career. You know what I mean?
True. He ended up the season 16-8, and you still had an under 3 ERA.
Finished third in the Cy Young voting that season.
But I wanted to agree with you because I think, you know, people make adjustments. And I think that's the same thing that's going to happen with Gil, whatever he is with the Yankees. I think they're coming around a second time.
Yes, I think that could be a factor with Luis Gil. You are 1,000% right, okay? It's a factor with every young pitcher. And then it's the adjustment. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means how do you adjust to that? I think with Gil, the innings limit, even though it doesn't exist, has to be in the back of your mind.
Yeah, it's in the back of your mind only because of this outing. Right. If he had had a great outing, even if they had lost the game, lost the series, if he had had another good outing, really good outing, we wouldn't think about it. We wouldn't be talking about it. But it's because he got smashed, and now all of a sudden we feel like, well, maybe there's an issue, whether it's health or just fatigue or whatever, or lack of experience pitching this deep into a season, we start to now question it. And it's not fair to him. I think it's too early to make a determination.
It could just be a bad start because bad starts happen. Absolutely. Same thing with even Imanaga, what happened today. Right. I mean, it could just be a bad start.
Right. His ERA was 2.22. What's it now, like 5?
No.
I'm just kidding. But he gave up like 11 or 9 runs
It's why, as much fun as it is to say this guy should start the All-Star game or this guy has a chance to win the Cy Young, bad starts can change your stats very, very quickly, even in the middle of June.
Yeah.
So you're right. Shota Imanaga and Luis Gil, I think those are two great examples. Within 48 hours of each other, 24 hours of each other, they've seen their stats look completely different. But the other factor with Gil that you also keep in the back of your mind is something I said to you back in April. Do you remember what I said back in April, fellas, about Luis Gil?
What's that? That he would be the closer.
That he would end up being the closer of this team. Mm. I did say that because, and I'll tell you why I said it. I said it because I didn't believe the Yankees when they said there's no innings limit. I didn't believe them. I looked at the amount of innings he's thrown in his career and said, there's no way he's pitching every 5 or 6 days and pitching as a full-time starting pitcher. Obviously, he changed the conversation. The Yankees certainly weren't planning on shutting him down. Maybe they still aren't. He's pitched brilliantly well. But keep in the back of your mind, when you have a weakness in your bullpen, which the Yankees do, they do not have a great bullpen. In fact, we could play the bullpen test. Ever play the bullpen test?
No.
It's a fun game. I ask you about the circle of trust, and I say, do you trust this guy? And then I name you a name, and you tell me if you trust that guy. So let's play it with the New York Yankees.
Okay.
And this is why Luis Gil could eventually enter this, because maybe he ends in the bullpen. Tommy Canley, do you trust him?
That's a hard
one. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I hate that I do.
Why? Based on what?
Just his track record prior to this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only issue. That's a tough one. Yeah.
Totally fine. Michael Tonkin.
Yes, actually, I do.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
Why do you not?
If he shaved the mustache, maybe. I don't trust him with that mustache.
Why? His ERA in June is less than one.
Because he got DFA'd 3 times this season. He's not that good. He got DFA'd well.
3 times, great ERA with the Yankees. Still looks like a Simpsons character. I'm out.
But hold on. Someone's got to prove to you that they're not trustworthy. He has not proven that yet. I'm just
waiting for the shoot.
Not with the Yankees.
Your level of trust is so different. I admire that. It probably means you're a better person. Number three, Victor Gonzalez is gone. They DFA'd him, right?
Yeah, so no more Victory.
So Victory Gonzalez, would you have said yes?
No, but...
All right, Caleb Ferguson.
No.
Caleb Ferguson with his 5.5 ERA. You trust him?
Mm,
I'm going to help you out. The answer is no. All right, so you've got...
I'm just looking up Michael Tonkin real quick.
Okay, look him up. Yeah.
So far, Sean's... One run in June.
Three new bullpen arms than they did when they started the week.
Okay, and those guys can't even be in this equation because you have no idea.
Well...
The other three guys, Luke Weaver, Do you trust Luke Weaver?
Yes, but I'm still waiting for that to completely plummet.
And think about what you just said. Yes, and I'm waiting for it to plummet. He's had a great year. Saying you don't trust someone doesn't mean they haven't had a good year. It means you don't trust them.
Right.
And finally, Clay Holmes. Do you trust Clay Holmes?
It depends on the circumstance.
Situation, yep.
What do you find so funny?
Because it's a situation.
No, what I'm proving to you...
No, here's the thing.
You don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Yankees, it's because there's no elite stuff there.
Okay.
Well, not this stat, I think, tells the story. The Yankees bullpen over the last 29 games has a 5.16 ERA.
Yeah.
Over the first 48 games, a 2.49 ERA.
Right now, the Yankees have the 10th best bullpen ERA, so it's dropped because it was in the top two or three. But that's my simple point. And we can play this game with the Mets, too. Met fans can do it. Do you trust the guy? Like, watch, I'll play with Lugie. It's tricky with some guys. Reed Garrett, you trust him?
Yes.
Adam Ottavino?
No.
Good answer, see? Yeah. Drew Smith?
Oh. No.
Dednell Nunez.
Yes.
It's early, easier with the Mets than it is with the Yankees. I feel it. Like the meaning, you know, yes or no, easier.
I'm on the fence about Dednell Nunez.
Really? Why?
Because he's barely done it, Tiki.
Yeah,
like, you're very easy to hand out the trust thing. I'm not.
Well, because you have to prove that you can't do it before I say, yeah, I don't trust you.
You're right. And I think what I do with relievers is, like, Dednell Nunez deserves, in a close game this weekend, throw him in the middle of the mix.
No doubt.
But
he deserves to be trusted.
I need to see more. So, has he fully earned my trust? He's a reliever who's been good for, like, a couple of weeks.
Right.
Jake Diekman.
No.
Okay. And here's the tough one. Ready for the tough one?
Mm-hmm.
Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Now you do.
Without blinking an eye.
Without blinking an eye.
Now you do.
And by the way, that's how you play the game. Now, if I ask Lugie or myself this exact same question in 3 weeks, there may be different answers, right? It's totally on the table. The Yankees, in my opinion, independent baseball observer, fair juror, because I was a fair juror. And by the way, the case is over. I can't tell. Well, I guess I can say what happened. Can I say what happened?
I mean, it's over.
The company.
It's public record.
Okay, good. We ruled. Well, I can't even say we. I was an alternate juror.
They ruled.
They ruled, and I will keep my opinion to myself unless someone asks me, that the company in question was not responsible for a part of a park in which a woman fell. Mm. That's essentially what it came down to. And it was a very tough process because I was an alternate juror. My judge, who I'm a huge fan of, he's a great guy.
Well, clearly, he's a huge fan of you as well.
That's fine. I'm a fan of his. I think he's good at the judge thing.
Mutual love.
He's a big Met fan. He's a big Cowboy fan. He told me a great story about his dad and the Cowboys that I would summarize this way for you. My judge became a Cowboy fan when he was very young. It was a very innocent story, and it was before they were good. And it became a tradition. Him and his dad would watch the Cowboys. They were on national TV a lot, America's Team, every Thanksgiving. When his father passed away 20 years ago, his mom says to him, by the way, your dad never wanted me to tell you this, but he was a big Giants fan.
No.
And he's like, I had no idea. I just assumed he was a Cowboy fan with me for 30 years.
Because they watched the Cowboys?
Because they watched it together. And I guess as a father, he didn't want to tell him. Like, I kind of don't like a team.
All right.
Wow.
And he was a Giant. Well,
I can kind of see that because the Cowboys were on all the damn time.
Makes complete sense.
It makes absolute sense.
And his dad, which sounds like a great guy himself, was like, my son loves the Cowboys. I don't want to tell him that I'm a Giants fan. So I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do appreciate that.
But big fan of the judge. Good guy. I like him.
Take the facade off.
Take what facade off?
The Cowboys facade and become the real Giants fan that your father birthed you into.
Oh,
I love that. Wow.
But I also had a great time with my fellow jurors. In fact, we took a selfie right after.
Really?
I was thinking about tweeting out the selfie, but then I stopped because I told them people on Twitter are very mean and you don't deserve that.
Yeah. What are you guys, a little league team? I know.
We bonded. We had a very good time.
Pizza after?
We had a very, very good time here.
I'm a loser.
14 of you all?
There were 8 of us, 2 alternates. And so the other alternate, very lovely lady, we had to spend time in a room, just us, with no cell phones, and not allowed to talk about the case. So I'm like, this is like awkward.
Wait, so how She's long are nice, you sitting in there?
We were there for an hour and a half. Great woman. Talked about kids. Talked about, you know, how to not have our kids sleep in our beds. And then...
Did she have a solution for you?
Well, no. I was more giving the advice, because she's got even younger kids.
Oh, got it.
So, and then... We may have talked about the case. We may have broken it down. Is that okay?
That's interesting.
What is interesting?
That's what they do with alternate jurors. They put you guys in a room, no phones, no anything. Now, had you both been single, you think anybody's ever shagged that situation?
You at least got to get some digits.
I was thinking about the exact same thing.
That's a great question.
Just picture a 31-year-old, it's a male, female, nothing to do for an hour and a half, you know? After you talk for a little bit.
You know what you do, Sean? You start looking over your shoulder like, okay, there's no camera up there.
You guys got some minds on you. But it is a great question. Like, you put two people in a room with no phones. Like, phone makes it easy to just go into your own universe. We didn't have to converse. We could have sat there and not said anything.
But that's awkward.
It would have been awkward. But I got to tell you, it was a very natural conversation. Right. I think what I've learned is that when it's parent and parent, and you've got kids that are similar ages, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
There's so much that you actually have in common. And so it was very interesting. And she was a nice woman. And everybody on the jury was nice. I became lifelong friends with them. I didn't exchange numbers. Maybe I should have.
Yeah, I figured, a little follow on Instagram for everybody.
You know what I thought of? I thought of Tiki. When Tiki was telling the story about being at the Giant event last night and seeing a bunch of people he hadn't seen in a while and how cool it was, I started thinking about my fellow jurors. Like, we should have parties every once in a while to just hang out, laugh about those few days we had together.
You're not the survivors of the Titanic. Again, you spent a week with these people. I guarantee you, if I ask, including the gal you sat in the room with, you don't know any of their names.
I know one name.
One!
I do.
Is it the gal you sat in the room with?
Of course not.
Believe it or not, I don't. I forgot.
You sat there with just talking for an hour and a half and you don't have a name.
Because at what point are you saying, what's your name? You never say that.
Did
you introduce yourself to her?
I think at the beginning of this, no one ever actually introduced themselves. So it was just, you just started talking. Like, that's not as awkward as you guys are making it out to be. Like, you know everybody's name? I feel bad I don't know her name. She was very nice.
When you say hello.
I know one person's name. I give credit. I'm going to put this woman over. I'm going to give her a lot of credit. There was a woman there, very nice lady. Her name was Susan.
Okay.
Put her over. And when we as the jurors had to select the foreperson, okay, that was on the jury. So when me and this other woman went to the private room, one of the conversations was, who would we pick as the foreperson?
Okay.
And I said, it's not even a question. Like, it is clearly her, Susan. Not even a question. You could just tell.
Yeah.
Leadership, motherly, smart. Like, very smart. Sweet, has it all. And I said, it's Susan. If they don't pick Susan, they're a bunch of idiots. And she's like, completely agree with you. So after everything was done and we all start catching up, I was like, got to ask who the foreperson was. I knew who the foreperson was because once the jury announced the decision, I saw it. And I said, how was that process? They're like, oh, it was a no-brainer. And I said, see, that's a person that, someone in the locker room who clearly shows they're a leader.
Yeah.
So is that like sports? Do you believe Susan was actually the best juror or just the best leader?
Best leader. Because I think when you're going to have... I'll tell you why.
The Jacob Trouba question.
When you're going to have people...
I think that matters, actually.
I do, too. Because I think when you're going to have people arguing about a case, and we did, and everybody took it very seriously, even as an alternate, I have my opinions on the case. I was writing it out. I was talking to her about it. I talked to my jurors about it afterwards. You need to hear all opinions and not shut anybody down. And I think that's leadership. Like, I don't know if I'd be good at that. I'd be perfectly honest with you. Would I have been a good foreperson? I don't know. I probably would have yelled at them. Lukey even said earlier today, I belittle him when I disagree with him.
You wouldn't have even got their name, so of course you're not the right leader.
You spent an hour and a half in a room with this woman. You talked about your kids sleeping in the bed, and you don't know her name.
I forgot her name. By the way, that's a skill, like learning and remembering people's names. It's a skill.
Yeah, you got to repeat it.
It's different, actually. It's different than just repeating it.
What is it?
Because repeating it is one thing. It's identifying someone with the same name. So if I learn, hey, your name's Sean. You just meant, hey, my name is Sean.
Yeah.
You immediately have to think about someone you know whose name is Sean.
Give it to me.
I would say Sean Payton, even though it's spelled differently. But hey, my name is Sean. I'd be like, all right. I would immediately think Sean. And then it helps you remember.
That's very smart. You know what the problem is? I think that's a great strategy, and
it's hard to do it in real time.
What's hard is that in a setting of being jurors, no one actually formally introduced themselves.
No, I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about the jurors.
That's where these guys are wrong. There wasn't a formal introduction.
But I'm just saying in general, because then when I see you, I'm going to think Sean Payton.
Hard for me to do that. I don't know any other Tiki, though.
Well, my name is the easiest in the world to remember. When I say my name, people remember.
That's true. You've got the advantage of the badass name.
Right.
But it was a great experience, and I would advise all Americans that when you get your summons to serve jury duty, you should do it, because it's the right thing to do.
Oh, that's how you close
this out? Everyone deserves a fair trial in this country. We do. And I, what I'm so proud of, jokes aside, is that every single person there didn't want to be there. But they made a decision based on what they thought was right and based on the facts that were handed to us, not based on any inconveniences. And that's the beauty of this country. It's the beauty of America. Every single person to a T, I'm telling you, I spoke to them. All were thoughtful about this case. It actually gave me a lot of great hope for our country.
I think that's a great message, Evan. I want to close with this. Would you have been still thoughtful on the case if it bled into the Subway Series?
Believe it or not, I would have. As difficult as that would have been to miss more shows, to miss Howie Rose Day, to miss Mets-Yankees, it would have sucked. I put my duty as an American before this radio show. And I'm sorry if that offends you.
Doesn't
but we
offend
are
me.
Americans. We have. You can throw your summons out or do whatever the hell you want or say I hate lawyers. I feel good about myself and I feel good about my fellow jurors. Great Americans. And I miss you guys already. We should do something together. Should all go out partying or something like that.
And wear name tags.
What was that?
And wear name tags.
That's a great idea. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 877. No, that's the old number. What's the new number?
888.
Oh, there it is. 888-808-1019. Nice summer afternoon here in the later part of June. The Mets are playing one of those Wrigley Field specials, a Friday afternoon in Chicago, not on TV today for that reason. And the Mets are destroying the Cubs, if you're just tuning in. How about that? They bombed Shota Imanaga out of this game very early, and they are up 11-1 in the top of the eighth inning. The Yankees get set to open up a three-game series against the Atlanta Braves. Coming up in a couple of minutes, the art of retaliation, how the Yankees did it, how the Orioles responded, and what's the best way to handle it. But right now, let's get to some of your phone calls, including Jack in Brooklyn. How you doing, Jack?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Big show, fan of your show.
Appreciate it. We appreciate it. What's up?
No problem. I wanted to find out, why don't the Yankees go back to the old pitch out? I haven't seen them do it one time.
You know what's so crazy about that? In a world over the last 2 years, Tiki, where guys are stealing more because of the new rules, we still don't see more pitch outs.
Right.
He's right. It's almost like, and this is my guess on this, I'm surmising that managers say, we don't want to give you a ball because the percentage that you'll succeed with a batter up 2-1 in the count versus just throwing a pitch at 1-1 changes so greatly that despite it giving you a better chance of throwing a base runner out, I'm convinced they don't want to hand you a ball.
Yeah, you just got to have a real, like, intel on when a guy is going to steal. Like, this guy always steals on the second pitch of the whatever at bat, right? There's no way it makes sense because I'm trying to think of the last time I've even seen him pitch out.
You don't see it. I mean, it happens, but it doesn't, put it this way. In an influx of stolen bases, we are not seeing an equal amount of influxing in terms of pitch outs. So we're seeing more stolen bases, but we're not seeing more pitch outs.
It's purely an analytical thing. You're right.
Everything comes
from it. It's all analytics.
Anytime you wonder why something's going on, think about the analytics.
Especially
if
there's already a ball. Or maybe if it's 0-1, maybe. But if it's already a ball, there's no chance you're giving up another ball.
Think about any player in baseball. Name me a random guy. Want to go Gunnar Henderson? Because Sean thinks he's the best player in Major League Baseball. That's something he said earlier today.
He's got equal war to judge.
Yeah, by the way, best war in baseball.
Okay.
So don't mock like it was some kind of anthem.
I wasn't mocking you because Gunnar Henderson is a tremendous baseball player who's only getting better. I was more surprised that as a diehard Yankee fan who swears by Aaron Judge that you were very quick to say that you think Gunnar Henderson is a better player than Aaron Judge. I was very surprised by that.
Pal. I'm getting tired of this.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because I've seen this since I made this comment. What do people want from me? If I wave the pom-poms and guarantee titles, what do I get back? Oh, Morris the Mush. Oh, he's too positive. What a homer. Then the moment I get a little disgruntled and I'm honest about an opponent maybe being better than our best player, it's suddenly, what an idiot. How do you not believe that Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball?
I just don't think this.
I could be more even-minded. I swing back and forth. Screw everyone.
I just think that Aaron Judge is such a good player. It's hard to say that somebody who's 23 years old is better than
That's all. That's all we were saying. By the way, Gunnar Henderson with a 2-1 count hits 350. With a 1-2 count, hits 182. And so it's a simple way of just saying, I think that managers don't want to hand away the control of a count with a pitch out. And I know that's such a simplistic way to look at it, but how else can you explain that the Yankees have been run on over the last week, or teams get run on nowadays with the new rules, and yet you still don't see more pitch outs? Joe in Chatham, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah, good afternoon. Great analysis, that last piece. I agree. But in terms of the way the pros who remember the hundreds of names, like you used to see them on Johnny Carson, is thinking it's not how you said, Evan. What they do is they look at a face and they pick out a feature of the face that stands out to them. But, of course, they don't say it. But they'll pick Sean. Maybe a little bit of lovable droop around the eye. You turn his name into a picture, like a shawl, because that'll make you think of Sean. You wrap the shawl around that part of the eyes. And then you see the guy next time, and you're like, oh, Sean, I see a shawl.
Okay, so then, so if you meet 10 people in a row, you're going to do that with 10 people.
You can do it. You get really good at it. Tiki, you take a tiki torch, you look at a chiseled part of your face, or maybe your shining white teeth, and you burn that in your mind, and it goes on and on. And that's how they do. But the other thing, Evan, you got to do is thing you said that you have to. The other person has to say their name twice. No, Evan said that. You got to say. Oh, very nice, Lisa. Yeah. Okay.
Nice to meet you. Okay. Nice to meet you, Joe. When you leave, it was good to meet you, Joe.
I completely understand saying someone's name helps you remember it. I think the other awkward thing, which is what happened with my fellow jurors, is that there was never a formal introduction.
That's weird. I wonder if all juries are like that.
Well, think about the scenario. Let me lay it out, and you tell me when that happens. So we're all in a room, like more people than that, on Thursday and Friday, and we don't even know who's being selected, but people are selected. Then on the following Monday, we all show up to a giant room with tons of people.
After you've been selected, but you don't know that all the other people have been selected
correct.
As well.
You have no idea. Then you're called. Your names are called. You're obviously not paying that close attention to each name as it's being called. And now, all right, come with me. And now you all follow them to another room where they're giving you instructions. So it's like this awkward, like, yeah, I guess at some point you could have said, hi, my name is Evan, or hi, what's your name? But for the most part, you're just kind of flowing with the action.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, it's too late to have an introduction.
And I would guess most people haven't done it before.
Oh, yeah. Or they haven't done it in at least 7 years, because I think part of the rules in the state is that once you serve jury duty, you are, like, I know we don't have to worry about this for 7 more years. I have a certificate that's hanging in my office. So I'm done. Sean may have to deal with it if he doesn't commit a crime and throw it out, which I think is a misdemeanor, but whatever. So people have done it, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And so when do you actually formally introduce yourself? Like when you're at work, there's always that, hi, my name is blank, or hey, this is blank, nice to meet you. This doesn't happen in that case.
No, but it's so easy if you forget a person's name or you forget whether you've introduced somebody. It is no rudeness to go, and I'm sorry, what was your name again?
No, you're right. You can do that. But then at some point you're in too deep where
you're not
asking the person the name. Like, okay, take me and her for an example. I'm stuck in a room with this woman. It sounds like such a negative thing. It wasn't. She was pleasant. We had a good time. So I'm in a room. And 5 days have already gone by. Like, am I really supposed to say, what's your name again?
Yes. At the end, and be like, and I'm sorry. What was your name again? That's it. And she would laugh. Because she may, by the way, if it wasn't for you and basically the judge patting you on the back, she may not remember your name.
All right.
You don't think too much has gone by?
No.
What did you guys say at the end of the day? Screw you. See you later. Like, when you say, hey, bye, Phil.
That was a wonderful experience, guys. We should do it again.
And even if too much time has gone by, one of two things is going to happen at the end of this thing. Either you're going to get her name and it's going to be better, where maybe you do exchange numbers from there and keep in touch, or you never see her again anyway, so who cares if it was a rude
You know what's kind of funny about that? There's a really good chance that every juror is probably listening specifically to today's show.
Mm.
Because A, they think I'm going to talk about it, which I have. And then B, they probably had a curiosity factor. Like, that schmuck's on the radio? What's he doing? And then they'll never listen again, by the way. You know, maybe somebody will stick around.
It could be sports fans. You never know.
So today's the experimental day where I guarantee all the jurors are listening.
Yeah, certainly hope they weren't listening at 4:06.
I have something for Judge Tiki and Judge Sean here when it comes to Evan and his memory. Callers will call up. They'll mention a play from 1995. Me and Tiki will sit here and be like, what the heck is this guy talking about? But Evan remembers.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he remember that but not somebody's name? I think it's because he cares more about remembering Coco Crisp's OPS. Exactly. It wasn't important to him.
There's also an emotional connection to those moments that he's remembering.
I think that's an easy answer.
You remember every like the emotional things that happened. Baby being born. Like you won something as a 10-year-old. Like, you remember those things.
No doubt about it.
Prom night, the other things. Right. Prom night. You remember those things.
It's a very self-
the first time. All that stuff.
Of course.
It's like, you remember.
It's a very self-explanatory answer. Like, the Robin Ventura Grand Slam single is going to live with me more than the hour and a half I had in a jury deliberation room. I mean, no offense to her. I don't think she'll take it. But one thing is certainly a hell of a lot more memorable than the other thing, especially someone's name. So how could you even ask that question?
But this idea that you're waxing poetic about the time you spent with these people.
Had a great time, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't remember their names.
What does that mean?
You didn't even get their names. Forgetting them, you didn't even get their names. You know nothing about them.
So what does that mean?
I think you got to work on your people skills, quite frankly.
No, because I don't think a lot of them knew each other's names either. They may have only known my name because I got picked on by the judge constantly.
Dude, there's a
We have one juror who, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Did he say your name?
Actually, did not. Yeah, so maybe they don't know.
They don't even know your name.
He said, we have one juror who, and then he would describe me. Actually, he would describe you guys. I have one juror whose friends on the radio like to say that being an alternate is not important. Well, guess what? They're wrong. So the other day, I know Sean was probably really happy that the Yankees retaliated. Were you happy with the retaliation that the Yankees had against Gunnar Henderson?
Absolutely loved it.
Okay.
Loved it.
Real quick, I want to set this up for you. So the other night, if you guys have forgotten already, it was 4-1 with one out and nobody on.
4-1. Yes.
And Gunnar Henderson got drilled by Victor Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Was it Victory? Who's already gone?
Yep. We bounced him now.
That's right. And so I was
Thank you for your duty.
Right. That happened with the Mets too. Johan Ramirez was the guy who hit or came up and in on Rhys Hoskins. And then he got DFA'd like 4 days later. So they do that. And the Yankee fans responded, right? They started cheering. We all remember that. I'm sure Sean was very, very happy. Now, Gunnar Henderson did come around and score. You could argue it turned out to be the difference in the game, but that's, you know, for you to decide if that bothers you or not.
Silly argument.
Here's what the Oriole announcer said specifically, because I have two clips here, so let's make sure it's the right one. My fault, by the way, not Lugie's, because I'm setting it up. What they said about Victor Gonzalez hitting Gunnar Henderson, and I want you to listen to the absolute passive aggressiveness that we got from the Orioles announcer.
This is a tough one because it is hard for us to know what's in Victor Gonzalez's mind.
He is someone who walks a lot of batters.
He's hit three batters on the year, 22 innings. Here comes Matt Blake. So we cannot sit here. We cannot sit here and say with 100% certainty that he hit Gunnar Henderson. But here's what we can say. If the Yankees were thinking about doing something like this, down three in the seventh with the bases empty is the time you might do it. And if they did do it, and if they did throw up an intentionally to Gunnar Henderson, frankly, shame on them.
Oh, God.
Shame on them.
Shame on them.
What did they do so bad?
Oh, come on.
Shame on them. What a great intro. So basically what the Orioles announcer said is Victor Gonzalez sucks, so it's very tough for us to determine, because he's so terrible, if this was on purpose or if this was his terribleness. And yes, this is an ideal situation to hit somebody. And if the Yankees did do that, which we are implying with our voice, they absolutely did, then the Yankees are shameful.
Well, I mean,
they're shameful.
Who were they? Who were they? Did they any of the either
Jim Palmer is one? Yeah, Jim Palmer's one of them.
Why did
he? But I'm not blaming Jim because Jim didn't say the shameful part. So I want to.
No, I'm not even talking about the shameful part. I'm just talking about the. I've been in this situation before. That was clearly a retaliatory throw.
You agree it was retaliatory?
100%. It hit him in the middle of the back.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement.
That was not a miss. Oh, it just stuck to my hand and I missed.
And by the way, when it happened, and forget about how the game transpired, because obviously we know the run came around to score. Yep. The Yankees ended up coming back. They lost by a run. I get it. It turned out to be the difference. Did that satisfy the blood-hungry Yankee fans?
You were not a big. I think so.
You weren't a big retaliation guy.
I wasn't a big retaliation.
What'd you think of it? Were you like, oh, that's cool?
I was like, yeah, okay, cool. All right, you got him.
Would you think?
And I was waiting to see what the Orioles would do.
Right.
Right. Which is very interesting because the Orioles did nothing.
Nothing. So it's over.
Well, it's over.
For now.
But I want to go back to the Oriole broadcasters because they said something very interesting.
True, but the Oriole broadcasters do not speak for the Orioles themselves.
No, they do not. And this has nothing to do with the Orioles. This has to do with us. Let's all have a conversation. We have spent a lot of time on the radio talking about the Mets not retaliating. The Yankees did this. The Yankees didn't do that. This has been going on at the station for years. We literally talk about what teams should do in terms of retaliating. And I thought the Oriole announcers, in talking about how the Orioles did nothing, was fascinating. Take a listen.
There's a difference, too, between taking it on the chin and just being confident. The Orioles are the latter. Okay, hit us. We'll take the base. We don't care. Mullins shatters his bat. Slow ground ball to Volpe, and there's an out. You know what I mean? Some teams would maybe not have the leadership be soft. That's not what's happening here. The Orioles are just playing their game and just being confident, and they're not letting this situation get into their heads. They're not being overly emotional about it. They got a game to win. They got a job to do.
Interesting. When we come back, more on this. Why is it that you're soft sometimes when you do something, nothing? But in this case, they're poised. They've got some kind of guts and poise that no one else has. More on that, plus your calls at 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.